God's word to you this morning. Our first reading is going to come from John, verse 14. It's one short verse. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And these words from the Gospel of John summarize a whole lot of the story that we have heard read to us already this morning. The Word, that is, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, becomes flesh, an infant, born to Mary, who is pledged to Joseph. And this infant is the means by which God chooses to make God's dwelling among us. And in this infant, we have seen God's glory. Glory is a big word when it comes to Christmas. At its heart, glory is what Christmas is all about. The word glory refers to the manifestation of God's presence. When God's presence is so tangible that it almost feels like you can reach out and touch it. And in the case of the infant Jesus, God's glory could be held and snuggled. In that infant Jesus, God made his dwelling among us. In Eden, the glory of the Lord shone very, very bright. It shone so brightly in all of God's works that every leaf and tree and animal and bird and fish that swung in the sea, the stars in the sky, the sun that shone, all of these works proclaimed God's glory so clearly that it was hard not to recognize it. It was there for all to see. It couldn't be missed until we fell for Satan's lie and sin darkened our eyes from seeing the glory of the one and only. But even as Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, the Creator pledged to be present to human beings, to shine his glory yet through that human darkness, and shine it did. The story of Scripture tells us that God made his glory visible to many. We have stories of Noah and his family, of Abraham and of Moses. We have the Hebrew word for glory is actually kavod. It speaks of the weight of God's presence, this heaviness that is known. The Hebrews felt this kavod, this glory of God, in the pillar of fire and the cloud that led them out of slavery, out of Egypt. And they shrunk from this cloud of glory in fear on Mount Sinai. The stories about the ark and the temple talk about the kavod, the glory of God in a cloud coming down and descending upon the ark and the holy of holy in the temple, so that God's presence was close and could be felt by all of the people right there in their midst. And that kavod, that glory of God, stayed present until because of Israel's disobedience, the glory of God had to come out of the temple, and God's house stood empty until it was completely destroyed. But even yet, then God said he kept his presence with his people while they were in exile. But from that point forward, the darkness of sin was so thick that the remnant could only hope for a glimpse of God's glory in Israel's dark night. That is, until God's glory once again broke through the darkness, first in the cry of a newborn child, and as suddenly the glory of the Lord shone around the angels, radiating through the night, all because a child was born, and that son that was given to us was enough for a vast army of heaven to cry out, chanting, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom God's favor rests." With the birth of a child, the glory of the Lord broke through in a manifestation of God's presence that we had never known before, where God's presence was so tangible that you could reach out and touch it, and to snuggle it in Jesus Christ, a babe in the manger. The response to God's glory is celebration and storytelling. The shepherds rushed to the manger, glorifying God for all that they had heard and seen, and all of it had been just as they had been told. But even with this great story and all of this celebration, eventually all of that excitement loses its shine. The excitement fades. Sometimes we call this the post-adrenaline blues. It feels a little bit like recovering from the flu when there's been so much excitement and build up to this one moment, and then it happens, and then afterwards everyone's like, oh. We had a bit of that in our house last night after all the presents were open. There are a few tears about, oh no, now Christmas is over and we have to wait a whole year again before it happens again. But there's this, sometimes when we build up so much to a great event, then afterwards we can feel a little bit depleted or sometimes a little bit sad or grieving the fact that this big event is done. And there's a little bit of a, oh, now what? And eventually everyone starts to go about their daily business again and life returns a little bit to normal. And I'm sure for the shepherds, the sheep still needed to be watched and their job still needed to be done. And eventually they found themselves back on that hillside, remembering the great glory of light of this army of angels that had appeared. And then, oh yeah, now today's kind of just a regular old night with no angels in the sky. And as everyone goes about their business once again, and this child for whom the angels proclaimed glory, all of those day-to-day tasks still need to be done as well. Diapers still need to be changed, and midnight feeding still have to be given. And so Mary and Joseph adjust to the routine of a newborn. There's a sense of normality that starts to set in. And that normality brings us to our second passage this morning, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading at verse 21. On the eighth day, so this is 8 days after Jesus had been born, when it was time to circumcise him, he was given the name Jesus, the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I often wonder when I read this passage of Simeon's song and his proclamation of Jesus as he is presented at the temple, how much the regular routine of caring for a newborn impacted the way in which Mary and Joseph were beginning to think of their infant son. On the one hand, they had these memories of glory, and on the other hand, they have regular routines. And these regular routines, just as we've read, had circumcision on the eighth day as the law required, and then 32 days later they need to come to the temple again for the rites of purification, and that's what we just read about when they meet Simeon. And in between, all of these days are filled with early morning feedings and diaper changes and this constant lack of sleep. And I wonder sometimes if some of the shine and the excitement of what had been proclaimed was a bit beginning to fade just a bit as the reality of what was going on had happened. There was all of this hype and excitement coming up to Jesus' birth, and if perhaps some of it has died away and the glory of God was beginning to be lost in the normalness of day-to-day life. There are no more shepherds and no more angels, just tears and diapers. And even on the 40th day, as Joseph and Mary journey to Jerusalem to the temple for the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus, everything that they're doing is normal, and it's according to the law. And as they enter the temple, there's no angelic host that's there waiting to announce the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, who's going to be purified and presented that day. There's no shepherds running through the streets shouting, "The glory of the Lord is in their midst." No, nobody is paying special attention to this young couple. They're just like any other young couple, who are so poor that they can't even afford to offer a lamb as a proper sacrifice. And as they wander through the temple crowds, the crowds miss the glory of the Lord that is in their midst, shining in the darkness, because of all the haze of normalness that is swirling around them. And I wonder to myself, how often don't we also get lost in this haze of normalness and routines? So much that we stop looking for the glory of God in our daily lives, perhaps even in ourselves or in our neighborhood, that we get so caught up in a normal routine that we stop paying attention and we just do things because that's how we've always done things, and we don't think about it. We don't even necessarily realize it. Our actions become so habitual that we don't even realize that we've done them. And the same thing can happen to us with this Christmas story. It can become so familiar that we forget to look for the glory. But we can't truly grasp the meaning of the birth and life of Jesus unless we see his glory. Beautiful paintings like we saw in this morning's stories try to picture for us some of this glory. A lot of times they've painted in halos over their heads to kind of show the significance of these persons and the glory of God that is there in the midst, our way of kind of giving us a way of seeing it in like a window to see into it, to remind us that the glory is there. And yet in our daily life, we don't walk around with halos painted over our heads or anybody else's to remind us to look for that glory. And that's because that's not necessarily what glory is. It's not necessarily the shining, but it is about presence. It is about God's presence. And the glorious thing is that God doesn't just leave it up to us to see the glory on our own. And we see that in the next part of this story. We see it in the Holy Spirit's work in Simeon's life. Simeon never took his faith for granted. And he spent his days waiting in the temple and hoping to see the glory. He opened himself up to the Spirit's work so that the Spirit could guide him to see God's glory, and he did. But this passage also tells us that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Simeon didn't get so caught up in the normality of Joseph and Mary. Rather, it was the Holy Spirit that opened his eyes and allowed him to see what hundreds of others had failed to see. They allowed Simeon to be able to see the glory of God. And he didn't only see it, he got to hold it. He held that glory in his hands. He embraced the overwhelming truth that God had not abandoned his people. Simeon cuddled the child, the true King of heaven and earth. And in that moment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Simeon saw as for the first time. He saw so completely that he was at peace. God's glory had come to dwell with his people, never to depart again. For that glory at Christmas, that first Christmas, didn't just stop shining in Bethlehem or in Simeon's arms, or when that child grew up and was crucified for the life of the world, or when he was buried. And that glory continued to shine when he was raised again, the victor over all the sin and darkness that haunts our world. And that glory continues to shine here today. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, we read that Jesus has given us, by his Spirit, glory. Jesus has given us glory so that he may always be Emmanuel, God with us. so that everyone we meet in our neighborhood, in our cities, in our walks with our dogs down the street, and are able to also receive this glory, to meet that glory face to face. And there are ways in which we can start to see some of those glimmers of glory more clearly. And this Christmas season, I was thinking of some of the places where I definitely knew that I had glimpsed and felt God's glory in more than just the regular day-to-day activities. One of them was in our faith group potluck, as we were gathered around tables chatting together and playing games together. There was a moment of connection in which I felt like God's glory was shining ever so much more brightly. There's stories I've heard about the Christmas tree lighting with the community here, and even from some of the people who were here from the community who have talked to me about the connections that they made there, in which they felt something, they said. And in my words, I would say they felt God's glory in our midst. And last week, I was helping out at the Tots and Caregivers drop-in that we have on Thursday mornings, and the conversations I was having with the caregivers that were there gave me another glimpse of God's glory being present in this community and how we are present in this community. And it reminded me that every time that we see joy or hope or peace or love, God's glory is shining through the darkness. And that glory is shining in and through us. So in the next few days or weeks, as perhaps festivities wind up and decorations get packed away, let us not pack away that joy, hope, love, and peace. Let us not pack away the glory and admit and give up for the normality of life that is outside of this season. Instead, let us be reminded to choose joy, to choose hope, to choose love, to choose peace. And most of all, let us choose glory, the manifestation of God's presence in us and through us. And so this Christmas day, may we always choose Emmanuel, God with us. For the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us pray. Lord God, to you we say glory, and to you we say thank you for your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the shining of your presence among us. And Lord, we pray for the courage to be able to see your glory. We pray for your Spirit to open our eyes so that we can see your glory, to know that you are present and that you are present in us and through us. And may we have the courage to live that presence in our day-to-day lives and in this place where you have put us. And so, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to help us to choose joy, to choose hope, to choose love, to choose peace, and most of all, to choose Emmanuel, God with us. In your name we pray. Amen. as we go out from this place this Christmas day, may the blessing of joy abide in you. May the blessing of peace rest upon you. May the blessing of love flow through you. May all the blessings of our Lord be yours at Christmas and the New Year. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And all God's people said, Amen.